The first reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and then verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened.
The second reading comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
I had a little flashback to the magic roundabout there for a moment, Zebedee. I don't know if there are, perhaps some of you weren't brought up on that, so there we go. Now, if you know the story of Jonah, and not just the famous bit about being swallowed up by a whale, you'll know that the reason he ended up in the belly of the whale was that he was fleeing from God. And in particular, he was fleeing from the vocation that God had given him. God had told him to call on the wicked city of Nineveh to repent. But Jonah didn't want to do that. Jonah fled in the opposite direction to Nineveh. And so God, basically a whale swallowed him up as God's judgment on him, really. But after 3 days, the whale spews Jonah up onto dry land. And God again sends him to Nineveh. This was the passage that we just heard. God called him for the second time. And as soon as Jonah starts preaching to the people of Nineveh, immediately, the people repent. On day one of his visit, they respond to God. So that's what I want to think about with you today. God's call and our response. How do we respond to God? The New Testament reading that Wendy read to us. Jesus, of course, didn't flee from God's call. Jesus did what the Lord was asking him to do. And although Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness were a time of testing, a bit like the days Jonah spent in the whale, nevertheless, Jesus came through it all. Actually, people see Jonah's 3 days in the belly of the whale as foreshadowing Jesus' 3 days in the tomb before his resurrection. But here in our story, Jesus has returned from the desert, from 40 days in the wilderness, and he begins his public preaching ministry. Jesus calls people to repent, and he calls people to follow him, to follow God's call on their lives. His message is interesting, actually. It's a nice little encapsulation of the gospel. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. It's not long, is it? And Simon and Andrew, his brother, James and John, his brother, they drop everything and they join Jesus. What about us today? Jonah was reluctant to follow God's call. Jesus and the fishermen, by contrast, were more willing to jump to it. Many of us, I guess, from time to time have heard God's call on our lives, perhaps to be more involved in mission and ministry, perhaps to be better disciples of Christ. Some of us have a very particular calling. Even though we don't actually flee from God, we may often ignore or play down the call of God. Likewise, I don't expect many of us have been swallowed by a whale. I won't ask for a hands up here. But we have found ourselves engulfed and consumed by the darkness of fear or regret or self-doubt. And even when we find the courage to present the claims of the gospel and to live lives of self-giving love, it's still very rare for the results to be as immediate and resounding as Jonah saw at Nineveh, where the whole town fasts and puts on sackcloth as a sign of repentance. Even the animals were not allowed to eat or drink. Even the animals were clothed in sackcloth, we're told in our passage. We don't often find people dropping everything to follow Jesus, a complete change of life like that. But perhaps the answer isn't to get negative about it and compare ourselves unfavorably to the stories we read in Scripture. Perhaps we shouldn't dwell too negatively on our own misgivings and reluctance. Because after all, even the disciples who followed Jesus so quickly, they also struggled and questioned from time to time, didn't they? What we need to do, I think, is focus on the turning, the repentance, even if it's with a little reluctance, and to focus on God's faithfulness. Because God goes on calling, even when we don't respond. In our story, God called Jonah a second time. And actually, if you carry on reading through the Gospels, you'll find God has to call Peter and others a second time and a third time and so on. In other words, don't be trapped in the belly of the darkness of your own previous reluctance or perhaps your track record of failure. That produces regret and self-doubt. The message is repent, which means quite literally turn around and start again. Don't be defined by the past, but be renewed. Be set on the right track by what God is offering in Christ. And the power of the gospel is the power to forgive. And our responsibility is simply to repent, to turn around, a change of our life. And God then enables us to start again. So don't let pride prevent us from repenting today, simply because perhaps we failed to repent yesterday. Most of us are probably like Peter. We need to repent over and over again. In 1945, the Charter of the United Nations was signed, and it states this: "We, the peoples of the United Nations, determine to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind, and to unite our strength to maintain international peace and security. We've resolved to combine our efforts to accomplish these aims." Today, of course, is not only Remembrance Sunday, but it's a very special day, the 100th anniversary of the ending of the First World War, that war that was supposed to end all wars. But as we look back over the past century, there's been so much horror, so much bloodshed, that it's very easy to conclude that there's no hope of new beginnings, no chance of peace. And so we find ourselves, if we're not careful, fleeing from God, rejecting God's promises, failing to hear the call of Christ to follow him, for he is the way of peace. Once again, we place ourselves in the belly of darkness, the no man's land of senseless futility, impale ourselves on the barbed wire of defeated hope. So into this centenary anniversary, and into this Remembrance Sunday, let's insert the clarion call of Christ to repent, to start again, to believe that in following him, there is another way for the whole world. As we remember all those who lost their lives in the Great War and in all the other conflicts that have consumed our world, let's pray for those who work for peace and justice in our world today, especially remembering those who serve in our armed forces. Let's not be defined by the past and the failures of the past, but by the hope that we find in Christ, his promise of peace, his call to repentance, his opportunity to begin again. And make your prayer for courage, renewal, peace, and forgiveness. In the story of Jonah, he prays a prayer from the belly of the whale to God. He says this: "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. The engulfing waters threatened me. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord."